Good morning. Hi, this is Dr. Morgan. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials on this beautiful Saturday morning. It didn't take much beyond 6 a.m. this morning, but you could see the rosy glow of orange and pink on the horizon, which means the sun's coming up. But I don't even think it's broken yet. So 45 minutes later, it's still golden, but we haven't had the sun break the horizon. But it's a beautiful day outside. This would be the day to do something out of doors. I want to read a quote to you. Comes from Ellen Davis. Most cancer cells are vulnerable to any metabolic change that denies them blood sugar or a source of sugar for fuel. Isn't that interesting? I would think if I were an oncologist or a medical doctor that treats cancer, that would be a very important piece of information. And I guess all that matters is that you believe that. If you don't believe that, well, then you probably encourage people to, eat junk food and drink Coca-Cola while they're getting chemotherapy. Simple as that. I want to read a brief abstract to you. To me, this is very interesting, and I want you to, let me start over here. You know as well as I do, we have choices each day. We can plan our day. We can decide what we want to do. Of course, things happen. There can be some things break in the house, like a plumbing problem or electrical problem, and you have to stop what your plans are and take care of those. Or if you have a flat tire, you stop and fix that, and then you go on to something else. But you and I have the same choices each day. We can decide how we're going to spend our time and what we're going to do. And it's probably common knowledge that the vast majority of all people that live here in America probably don't spend a lot of time being very proactive toward improving their health. In turn, they're more reactive, which means when they have a problem develop, that's when they go to the physician and they get multiple tests. It could be a CAT scan, an MRI, a mammogram, a colonoscopy. But they're looking for the evidence of some type of diabolical disease, right? Okay. But maybe those that listen to this program are a little bit more interested or in tune with being proactive. What can I do to help myself now to ensure that maybe I'll have better health down the road? Is anything a guarantee? No. But there's only two possible outcomes. Either you do something to help yourself, or you just wait until something breaks down and you react to it. So it's good to be proactive as opposed to being reactionary. Now, this little article right here, I'm telling you, I am really, really impressed, but I want to know what you think about this. This comes from Olive Oil Compound Kills Cancer Cells in 30 Minutes by Margie King. Here goes. And I'll just go through slowly and just kind of soak it up and absorb it and tell me what you think. Extra virgin olive oil has a reputation as a superfood, as it contains an abundance of antioxidants proven to confer health benefits. And one of those antioxidants is called oleocanthal. Sometimes it's called OC for short. So one of those potent antioxidants that God himself has designed into the olive oil is called oleocanthal. Recently, researchers tested oleocanthal, and they got it from extra virgin olive oil, and they found that oleocanthal can induce rapid death in cancer cells while leaving healthy cells intact. Did you get that? We're just talking about olive oil here, folks. They found that oleocanthal induced the loss of cell adhesion in certain cancers within as little as 30 minutes, and within 24 hours, 100% of the cancer cells were non-viable. That means they couldn't grow roots and stick to anything. That's just phenomenal. This is being published. Mrs. King goes on to write that olive oil prices are increasing, so some producers, they will actually adulterate extra virgin olive oil by adding cheaper oils such as soybean oil. You know, they'll just kind of cut it. Yeah, maybe it is 10% olive oil, but what if it's 90% soybean oil so the manufacturer can make a greater profit? Well, that's not right, but it happens. The term is legally regulated. The term extra virgin meaning. The term is legally regulated and means that extra virgin olive oil can only be made from mechanically crushed olives. Not supposed to add any soybean oil or canola oil or some other adulterated oil. Actually, adding any other oil would adulterate the extra virgin olive oil. It would no longer be pure from olives, would it? When researchers tested extra virgin olive oil on supermarket shelves, they found that 31% were oxidized, meaning they're starting to go bad. They're turning rancid, rather. Or they had a poor chemical quality. So just what that means to you and I is about a third of all supermarket olive oils are already rancid. And that's not where you get that high concentration of oleocanthal, that antioxidant found in extra virgin olive oil. So why does it matter? Olive oil goes rancid quickly and loses its antioxidant and anti-inflammatory properties, adding to your body's burden of free radicals and impurities. Extra virgin olive oils that have passed quality tests include Bertolli. I know for a fact I've seen that at the store. Whole Foods 365 brand. Obviously, they sell that at Whole Foods. And one called Pompeian. I'm probably saying that wrong. Let me spell it. Pompeian. Maybe it's Pompeian. That's probably the way it's pronounced. Sorry about that. But isn't that interesting? Here we have a report that olive oil, when it's placed in contact with cancer cells, can render them harmless. You think that's good information? What would happen if you used a little bit of olive oil every day in your diet and the oil was full of nutrients? Well, maybe, folks, that might be a good way to improve yourself. Okay, article number two. This one I find... I'm not so sure if this one is not more interesting than the one I just read about olive oil. And this comes from, this is adapted from Better Than Chemo, Turmeric Kills Cancer, by Sayer Jai. I hope I'm saying his name correctly. It's spelled J-I. All right, here it goes. It won't take long. But I want you to consider this. Don't be reactive. Be proactive. It's what you do now. You're laying the foundation for a healthy future. Researchers from the United Kingdom have just made a major breakthrough in cancer research. Well, how did they do this? Well, here's how they did it. By demonstrating for the first time that curcumin, which is a turmeric extract, you know, that yellow saffron-colored spice, like if you go for Indian food, or if you like French's yellow mustard or mustard, that's turmeric or turmeric. They made a major breakthrough in cancer research by demonstrating for the first time that curcumin, which is a turmeric extract, not only is an effective adjunct agent to enhance conventional chemotherapy, but may be even more effective on its own. Did you hear what I just said? Curcumin has also been found to be about 100 times less toxic than chemotherapy. We might as well just say a million times, right? I mean, come on. And it was more effective at killing colorectal cancer stem cells from patients than the popular chemotherapy. Isn't this interesting? Turmeric was shown to be more effective than chemotherapy at killing colon cancer cells and rectal cancer cells. Folks, I can't make this stuff up. This was published in September 2015 in the Cancer Letters. The study evaluated curcumin as a possible adjunct to enhance chemotherapy treatment of colorectal cancer. And I'm sure there's a lot of thought that went into that. And I won't go into all the details, but you know why they're testing natural things, folks? It's because unnatural things are far too toxic, and they're far too dangerous, and they're far too debilitating to the individual, and they have so many side effects. And at the end of the day, they just weaken a person. They don't do anything to produce robust immune function. The curcumin was able to inhibit what is known as spheroid formation. That's a configuration of cells that indicates that cancer progression driven by cancer stem cells is occurring. This and other curcumin activities indicate that curcumin is capable of targeting the stem cells at the heart of many cancer malignancies. Given the results of this new study, shouldn't curcumin be considered a first-line treatment itself? Well, you answer that question for yourself. In the meantime, a growing population is taking their health into their own hands and finding ways to prevent and even treat cancer through dietary interventions and related natural approaches such as supplementing with curcumin. It's one of the favorite dishes that my daughter likes that my wife makes. It's kind of like a curry chicken casserole with broccoli. Of course, when I think of it in my mind, I think of sulfur, the great purifier of the body and the blood. Is it any mistake that in countries where they have rich sulfur in their soil, and the people that choose to eat the produce from that soil have next to no cancer rates? Very interesting, don't you agree? All right, somebody was just trying to call. If you want to call and ask a question, please feel free to do so. There's a phone line officially open. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. And if you'll call and ask your question, I'll take your call right away. There's nobody ahead of you, so call right now if you want to ask a question. If you've never heard this program before, you're listening to Health Essentials. And if I'm not mistaken, February of 2016, or is it January? I think January, yeah. January is going to be 20 years. How about that? Good morning and welcome to the program.
Hello. We listen to you every Saturday morning, and I had a question for you this morning. What can be done to raise the mean platelet volume?
A long time ago, they used to call it vitamin T, but the Food and Drug Administration says, no, you can't do that. You can't call it vitamin T because it's not a real vitamin. But vitamin T came from what's called sesame seed oil.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not trying to overpromise or underdeliver any topics or make it into a super substance, but there are chemical properties, natural chemical properties found in sesame seed oil, that what it does is it stimulates the stem cells in the bone marrow to do a better job of producing high-quality platelets.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound reasonable?
Yes.
So the quality of the sesame seed oil makes a difference. I've seen in the store they sell, it's almost a brown where they add a flavoring to it. That's the form of sesame seed oil that most people will use if they're going to stir fry in a wok. That's not what I'm referring to. I just want the plain Jane, virgin, cold-pressed, unrefined sesame seed oil. So a spoonful a day can be a benefit. Now, from the vitamin kingdom, a human being literally requires what's called folate and B12 in order to stimulate those stem cells in the bone marrow to manufacture platelets. And, of course, this is maybe a different way of saying it. What if a person doesn't get enough B12 to meet the bone marrow's needs to stimulate production of new platelets? Well, we're going to find that the body's underserved. It just doesn't make enough platelets to meet the needs. And so without enough platelets, what you can see, especially in an older person, is you can see a lot of leakage occur in their skin. And this is where a person could just, you know, without even realizing what they've done, bump their hand on the back of a piece of furniture, and all of a sudden the next day they've got this purple blotch under their skin. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So B12, vitamin C, I would say plays a huge role in that also. From the herbal kingdom, boy, there are so many interesting herbs that I think of that improve platelet levels. One of them is echinacea. You ever heard of echinacea before?
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken, back in the 1920s, you know what the most popular treatment of all time was that the average person used to treat the flu? It was echinacea.
Right.
Of course, the world's changed. 100 years later, maybe it's not the most popular. Maybe a flu vaccine is the most popular way of treating the flu. But back 100 years ago, it was echinacea, common knowledge. So why does a person have low platelets?
good question.
Well, besides the low platelets, what else does the blood work reveal? Is there a low white blood cell count?
No, the white blood cell count and the red blood cell count was all in good range. The iron, the hematocrit was all good. The thyroid is low. It's steadily dropped over the last year to now the thyroid and the MPV is below the normal range. It's always been low normal. Well, the thyroid has, but...
Well, do you actually have the blood work right in front of you?
No, not at the moment.
Well, one thing that I'm used to is people calling me on the phone and saying, my blood work is perfect because my doctor told me. And then when we look at it, there's seven things that are out of range. Not zero, but seven.
Oh, well, no, I have studied it. I do have a copy of it, and I've studied it. But, yes,
The white blood cell count, probably perfect or ideal, somewhere around 7.5 or 7.5. But the point I'm getting to is, if a white blood cell comes in at 5.5 or below, that's one particular indication from recent scientific research that a person may have a low-grade infection.
Mm-hmm.
And so people can have low-grade infections. I mean, have you ever heard of somebody having diverticulitis or diverticulosis,
yes,
or having maybe a tonsil that flares up or an ear infection or constant sinus problems? But you're just looking for some clue that there is a continual ongoing burden on
mm-hmm.
the immune system, keeping it drained. So when the immune system becomes a little cattywampus, yeah, you can see a low platelet count.
Uh-huh.
So surely there's got to be something in there that we can uncover and find that's going to be a benefit to this person.
Okay, I have the blood work now in my hand. Let me get in tower and turn on a light.
Yeah, you're in the dark right now, right?
Turn that light on, bud. Okay, let me see.
There is a marker called MCV. That means mean corpuscular volume.
Okay.
I would say anything above 93 is going to strongly suggest there's a B12 deficiency.
It's 89.2.
Okay, that's a good number.
Okay. The white blood cell is 5.1.
Well, I just said earlier that 5.5 or below can be strongly suggested there's a chronic infection growing somewhere. And if I said, if you asked me, well, where are the most common locations that a person could harbor a low-grade infection? Well, and I'm just going to oversimplify this, but I'm going to say the teeth, the gums, the jaw, the tonsils. When I say sinuses, I'm just covering all of them around the head, not just the ones around the nose.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next one's going to be the gallbladder, and then I would have to say maybe the one that I see a lot of is any pocket within the colon that would be a spewing pocket of inflammation or infection. So does this person have a diverticulitis?
Not to my knowledge.
Chronic sinus problems, allergies?
Well, I sneeze a lot.
Well, but that would be an indication that your body's trying to clear waste of some kind. So maybe this is a clue, but a white blood cell count at 5.1 suggests that your immune system is under-functioning. It's not functioning as robustly as it should. But I would take that seriously if it were me, because 5.1 is far from ideal.
Okay.
Did the doctor make a big deal about that?
No. I mean, the main thing he made a big deal of was, of course, I know I've got a tremendous amount of inflammation in my body.
Okay, now we're getting somewhere, because inflammation generates platelets. But your bone marrow can literally become tired and exhausted after dealing with inflammation that doesn't resolve and go away. So what's the source of inflammation?
Arthritis, I think.
Well, do you know exactly which form of arthritis? There's only like 127 versions of it.
Well, they did a rheumatoid test early last year, and it didn't show positive. So they're saying osteoarthritis.
Do you actually have any bony deposits or calcium deposits growing on any of the joints?
Probably. I mean, I have tremendous pain all the time in my thumbs.
You know, I heard of a lady yesterday talk about a very famous eye doctor that had a tooth pulled. And once his tooth pulled, his fortunes changed for the better.
Mm-hmm.
So we just have to find out what's the source of inflammation. It's generating from somewhere. I've mentioned a possibility. Obviously, that's the limitations of radio. I can't put my hands on you and touch every organ and find out where the pocket of inflammation is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I can't test you to find out where is this originating from. But you know what? Doctors used to use a term back in the 1850s and 1860s and 1870s, and I realize that's 150 million years ago. But they used to use the term called the focus. They would keep asking the question, where's the focus? And what they're trying to say is, where does the problem originate from?
Mm-hmm.
And so do you realize how hard it is for the average physician to pinpoint, with the limited time they have, where the problems are coming from? So they did a blood test to see if you had rheumatoid. You didn't have rheumatoid, but that doesn't change the situation that you hurt and you're inflamed, right?
Right.
And so maybe there's a nutritional component to this. I mean, for example, it used to be called the Wolzen factor or Activator X. They would say in people that have plenty of the Wolzen factor, they don't have arthritis. But they believe that's called vitamin K2 now, because vitamin K2 prevents excessive inflammation from building up in the joints.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe this is like a side topic, but one of the reasons why I don't recommend calcium for women that hurt is because your body is going to calcify any tissues that are chronically inflamed.
Right.
So if you take a calcium supplement, you're just asking to add insult to injury, because quite often that's one of the aspects of inflammation. Your body will draw calcium to that area. That's one of the reasons why that when a woman goes through menopause, she has a very high occurrence of a heart attack and stroke at that point, because as the hormone levels drop off as she goes through menopause, or maybe what I'm trying to say is her body doesn't produce as much estrogen and progesterone as it used to, you'll start dumping calcium from the bones, and that calcium goes to one location. It goes to that large artery on the heart called the aorta. And as the aorta hardens and calcifies, bingo, a woman has a heart attack or a stroke.
Mm-hmm.
And so these recommendations for women to take calcium, well, you can do that. You can take all the calcium you want, but you're just going to be more inflamed. It's like throwing gas on a fire.
Well, I don't take any calcium. I take curcumin. I take fish oil.
Well, again, the same question is, and all those are good.
Mm-hmm.
If you're taking all those, but you still are suffering, what is the source of the inflammation? And why is your body not able to manage it?
Probably because of my weight.
Okay, well, did you know that fat cells in and of themselves can generate excessive inflammation? They can just spew it forth?
Yes.
I doubt that's all of it, though. It's probably just part of it. Because I know a lot of people that are overweight that don't have an ounce of pain at all. I mean, have you ever heard of somebody carrying more weight than what they should, but they don't hurt at all?
Yeah.
And so there's just a lot to your question. It's a great question. So the weight might be one of the issues. What has your doctor or physician told you about how to rejuvenate your body?
Well, he knows I do not like to take prescription drugs, so he doesn't force them on me. But he recommended the fish oil and the curcumin, and I do take 4 prescriptions, but one of them is niacin, and the other one is red rice yeast, and the other one is 2 thyroid preparations. My thyroid has also dropped below normal this time.
Did you know that anything that acts as a statin can turn off your stem cells? And that's what that's where we began with. You have stem cells in your bone marrow, and the stem cells are like these little bitty factories. They can manufacture any tissue. They can grow anything that you need. And, of course, platelets, that's probably one of the easier things for your stem cells to make. But even the red rice yeast is going to act as a statin, but that can shut off your stem cells.
Mm-hmm.
You probably have never heard that before.
Mm-mm.
But everybody's unique and different. For some people, they might, you know, I've seen people before, this may sound unbelievable, but I've seen people before that were so lean and so strong, yet they ate sugar all day long. And you're probably thinking, well, I don't believe that. Well, I've seen it before.
Oh, yeah, me too.
But I've also seen a few people, they couldn't even tolerate a little bit of sugar, or it would just totally destroy and wreck them. And, you know, life's not fair. Just because one person eats candy bars all day long and drinks, you know, 3 or 4 Cokes a day, doesn't mean I can get away with it or do it. So you're going to find what's called biochemical individuality. It just means every person is unique and different, but we just have to find the right combination for you. So, man, I love your style. You're trying to heal yourself. Way to go.
What can you tell me about reducing CRP and SED rate?
Well, all those things are markers right there that you have excessive inflammation going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the sedimentation rate is elevated, of course, can I just say zero would be perfect?
Mm-hmm.
And so if they did a sedimentation rate and the doctor comes back and says, I've got good news, your sed rate is at zero, well, yeah, you're not generating any excess inflammation. But what if the sed rate comes back at 45?
Yeah, that's what it was last time. Now it's 37.
Well, even at 37, you have out-of-control inflammation. It's not being managed. And, of course, Dr. Russell Jaffe, I like his definition of inflammation. He calls it a repair deficit. If tissues are breaking down at a faster rate than what you can repair, then you're going to have disease of some kind. So put that thought on hold for a second. But C-reactive protein, that's a very, very accurate marker concerning inflammation. Does the person have a repair deficit? And so zero would be perfect. But if that goes up, I don't know, what is yours? 1.5, 2, 3?
14.2 is what it's...
Oh, my word. I'm glad I'm sitting down. I almost fell backwards when you said that number.
Yeah, so, I know.
So here's what when you sit down with your doctor and say, could you please tell me what is the factor that's generating this high C-reactive protein? Because if all we do is just check for rheumatoid, well, what does that really fix?
Mm-hmm. He's real concerned with that CRP.
Well, if he had CRP, he might be a little bit more concerned if it was him.
Mm-hmm.
Because that might limit his ability to take care of people. So, yes, we have to find out, do you have a continual low-grade infection? Do you have a repair deficit? And, of course, it's easy for me to go to the lining of the gut. Because if you have a leaky gut, you can see all those numbers. If a person has a hyperpermeable gut, but what we're going to find is there's going to be a lot of key points. So let me give you some ideas here.
Mm-hmm.
What if your diet and your lifestyle and the way that you move and take care of your body were to change for the better, and you actually start feeling better, which means your body's healing at a faster rate than what it was capable of before? And that enabled you to lose weight and make repairs at a faster rate so your bones could be in better condition and your joints could be in better condition. But you can only do that if you have actually a plan that you can implement. So, I don't know, what are you doing to exercise right now and to move and take care of yourself? What are you doing to stretch? Are you doing yoga all day long?
Oh, no.
Okay. Well, what are you willing to do?
Oh, I don't know, probably walk.
Well, the only thing is, walking is not going to do much to create a sufficient load on your joints to cause repair.
Okay. Well, what would you suggest?
Well, a simple thing would be yoga. Not the weird meditation, becoming one with the universe and saying, I'm just talking about the movements. These are specific movements that are designed to restore function, reduce pain, and heal the body.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a long time since I've seen this video, but back in the middle 90s, I watched a documentary where a movie star had injury upon injury upon injury, and the guy was literally in severe pain, and he had to be wheeled into this hospital in a wheelchair because he couldn't walk or stand on his own. The pain was too great. He also, unfortunately, became addicted to drugs, pain relievers, painkillers. You know how easy it is to get addicted to a painkiller? Real easy. Doesn't take much. Make a long story short, they took him to a rehab hospital and they sort of dumped him out of his wheelchair onto the padded mat with a yoga practitioner or yoga instructor. And I watched the gentleman curse and say what he was going to do to him and, you know, destroy all of them for mistreating him. But after about an hour and a half, the man was able to stand up and walk and move and bend without pain. Because the yoga practitioner said, these are the movements that you can't do. What we're going to do is we're going to regain that. But see, when you do things like that, you start releasing lactic acid from the tissues.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I've got to believe right now. And this is going to sound kind of nutty, but I've got to believe that where you have horrible pain, you have just an excessive buildup of crystallized debris and waste.
Mm-hmm.
Which means we've got to find a way to detoxify you and get rid of that crystallized debris and waste. So one of the things that I think of is if a person goes to bed at night feeling a certain way, but they wake up stiffer in the morning, is that you at all?
Yeah, my back.
Well, then I would say the kidneys are seriously not working well. It's the job of the kidneys to remove that crystallized debris so it doesn't accumulate in your joints or in your muscles. And so my interpretation is we need to improve the performance of your kidneys. We definitely need to improve circulation. Now, the other thing that I would say is if a person is in a boatload of pain and they just can't move, one of the simple things you can do to give them relief is if somebody were to just to gently massage that inflamed area and say, now move. And if all of a sudden they have relief, that makes me think, bingo, now we're in business. They've got a severe oxygen deficit. They can't deliver enough life-sustaining oxygen to those tissues so they can be radiant and strong and healthy. It's just as simple as that. And if you can unlock these secrets, you could become pain-free, young lady, and you can heal, and you can restore yourself, and you can go to church without pain. You can walk down the aisle and repent of your sins. That's I'm talking to myself now. But anyway, you know what I meant.
Yeah.
But there, you're going to find it's not as simple as just the one thing, and that's why the doctor's probably a bit stumped and he's really concerned. But you can only have so much concern without action. What you need is you need action right now. Action speaks louder than words. If you do something and you have less pain, that should impress you. I'm moving on the right track here. And so all I can do is give you teeny tiny tidbits because I can't precisely pinpoint the root cause or causes of your problems and where all your weaknesses are. But then again, isn't that the physician's job to find out what is the primary cause of a problem, what's secondary, what's tertiary? But if you don't do that, all you can do is just give pain relievers to a person. You can only just give them drugs, which really doesn't require a tremendous amount of thought or effort. I mean, the latest studies show that the average physician has about 8 to 9 drugs they use all day long every day because those are their favorites, and that's what they think about, and that's what the drug reps tell them, and da-da-da-da-da. You can say it however you want. But I want to keep a very open mind with you, and I want to say to myself, Roy, she can improve herself, and she can become strong and radiant and healthy again, and she can start to move. And you've got to be able to start moving without pain. I don't know where your pains manifest, but let's just say you go to bed and you wake up in the morning with more lower back pain. Well, that makes me really nervous about the condition of your kidneys, and we want to improve those. So what is it that you want to accomplish besides increasing the platelet count? You probably want to have some healing and rejuvenation, right?
Yes.
How are you going to do that?
Drink more water.
Okay, that's one plan. Do you think that'll be enough to overcome all these other deficits?
Probably not.
Well, then you might need a little bit more precision. So what you can do is you can start consuming extra virgin olive oil every day.
Okay.
You could start consuming lemon juice in your morning water. Lemon juice actually acts as a solvent to help dissipate and break apart some of that crystallized debris. I know you've never heard of gout before, but I have. Because I've seen people that just soon shoot themselves as put weight on a foot with gout in it. But gout's going to be an example. It's only an example of how you have these crystals form in the toe, and every time you bend it and move it, it's like shards of glass or knife blades or an ice picks jabbing you. So the movement is so painful you can't even do it.
That's what I think's in my thumb joint.
That's right. It is. You've got it. You've got this crystallized toxic debris, and how are we going to detoxify that? So it's going to take movement because you've probably passed the point of you've got a pretty good buildup in there. Now we're going to have to clean all that out. That's why you need to be constantly massaging and stretching your thumbs. You ever heard of YouTube before?
Yes.
Get on YouTube and look up thumb exercises for severe arthritis and see what you come up with. Mm-hmm. It can at least give you a different idea, and you go, wow, I never thought of that before. You mean these people are getting over their joint pain by doing these exercises? Well, yeah. Because if you don't get oxygen, you know what I'm really tempted to say? I know it's just going to be a little bit outlandish, but I don't care at this point. If we can actually get enough life-sustaining oxygen to your joints, you'll become pain-free.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not so sure that oxygen is not the greatest healer of all time.
Okay.
And so you could, I mean, I cannot stop you from getting the phone book right now and looking up yoga practitioners and going to yoga classes so you can become pain-free. But I think if we work with your diet, I think if we work with your breathing, I think if we work with your oxygen, and we have more of an anti-inflammatory diet, and we look at your nutrient deficiencies that you may have that are preventing your body from working right. I mean, I was even reading an article the other day about Alzheimer's, and they were talking about the role of vitamin D, and when there's a vitamin D deficiency, you find the highest occurrence of Alzheimer's. And this article that I read before I came on the air, I didn't read it on the air, but they were showing that There is a severe deficiency in the cerebrospinal fluid of cholesterol in those that have Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
It just means the body can't repair itself because that's what cholesterol is. And so if a person is taking niacin or they're consuming red yeast rice, that's usually where I see the healing stop because it blocks stem cells' ability to procreate and make new cells and tissues. You know what I'm really chomping the bit for? I need to tell you the other 2 hours of what you really need to focus on, but I can't do that on the radio.
Okay.
So I'll let you just kind of put that to your thinking cap and see what you come up with. But I'd be willing to help you any way that I can. But I think that you need to aim very high. And plus, you don't need to spend all your money on health care. You need to go to First Money Canton and have fun this weekend, right?
Well, that's not my idea of fun, but I have a question about exercise. What about a stationary bicycle?
It's not going to do very much for you.
Why?
Well, you explain to me why it would do much to change the inflammation in your body.
Well, wouldn't, if you rode it long enough, wouldn't you get more oxygen in your blood because you're huffing and puffing and breathing hard?
You might. I mean, if that's the only option you have, then yes, let's take that and do it. And there's lots of situations, like if somebody's had an injured knee or they've got a broken foot or they have a hip joint that's bad, then yes, do those things. But what I told you earlier, like, for example, about yoga, there's just calisthenics and stretches and postures and holds and balancing.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you start creating. And I think the field of medicine that's probably not talked about very much, it's called mechanobiology. Mm-hmm. This stuff is so upper, it's like brainiac people study this stuff. I like it too, but this can be a brainiac. But to make a long story short, you've got to do things that probably more closely imitate children playing in the backyard than sitting on a bicycle. All you're doing is you're reinforcing that you're very good at sitting and pedaling.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't do much to the nervous system or the circulatory system to stimulate to grow new blood vessels.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how long you can stand on one foot and hold your balance with one leg lifted like a crane?
I can't.
Well, and that's going to be a real-world indication of how well your brain function is, because at the end of the day, you've got to connect your central nervous system to your muscles to maintain your posture and balance against gravity.
Mm-hmm.
And so back in the 1970s, before they had CAT scans and MRIs, that's what neurologists used to do if somebody had dementia. They would say, could you please tell your 70-year-old mother to stand on one foot? And they would observe, if she could hold perfect balance for 30 seconds without wobbling or touching her other foot to the ground, that's considered perfect. But perfect is 30 seconds with your eyes closed. And so that's why you can ride a bicycle, but that is not going to be enough to reintegrate your nervous system with your muscles. So you need to grow new nerves, new blood vessels. Maybe let me start over. Exercise bicycles, great. But that's going to be baby steps. That's not going to really do a whole lot for rejuvenation. Unless you're going to pedal for about 6 hours a day, then I'd say we can get somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you had in mind, 6 hours a day?
Not really.
And so the key to all this is restoring function. And the only way that you restore function is by doing activities that are very challenging. I'm just talking about the simplest thing that I can think of off the top of my head. If you stand up on one foot and say your husband's right there, right? And you say, all right, hit the stopwatch. See how long I can maintain my balance on the ball of my foot or on my right foot. And if I touch, tell me how long it is. And he goes, all right, that's 2 seconds. You should be able to stand on one foot and balance for 30 seconds. If you cannot, I have no choice but to assume that we need to improve not only brain function, but nervous system integration with your muscles. And that's where, have you ever watched kids play?
Yes.
Man, it's phenomenal. They crawl up on the couch and say, look at me, I can stand on one foot. And then they jump over you. I'm not telling you to do, yes, that is not what I'm telling you to do, is to jump on the couch with your husband. There might be an injury. But all these things I'm telling you are the most precise technology. So do you want to take a ballet class?
Not really.
Tumbling, dance, you want to do those?
Dance, maybe.
Okay, well, that'd be a starting place, because dance is going to be movements, and that's the best form of exercise, when you move and exercise while it's fun and it's play. Kids play all day long. I don't have to tell them. Usually I have to break them up when they're choking each other on the floor. But I think if you can engage these things, we hadn't even talked about diet yet, but I would say if you're eating wheat and sugar, you're generating so much inflammation, you'll never get over that. That's one of the reasons why I really recommend more of a meat and vegetable-based diet with a little bit of fruit.
Yeah, that's what my doctor said, too.
Who's your doctor?
Dana Park.
Go back to Dana Park and say, heal me right now.
Oh, he's been telling me for years. I'm just not real obedient.
What has he asked you to do that you haven't done?
Stay off the sugar.
Okay, well, that is something that's going to... The number one predictable value for somebody that has a chronic low-grade infection is going to be sugar consumption. All right, I've given you plenty of things to work on, and you're going to be known to yourself by the quality of the questions you ask yourself once you get off the phone.
Okay.
And those questions can be, do I really want to get well?
Yeah.
And if you do, nobody can stop you. You can start right now today. You can be a different person by tomorrow.
What are your office hours?
8 to 5.
Monday through Friday?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I wish you the very best. Thanks for your phone call, ma'am.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. If you want to join me on the radio, there's plenty of time left in the program. I know it took a lot of time with her, but it seems like she's really hurting and suffering, so she needs the help. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. You're listening to Health Essentials, and I'm your host, Dr. Morgan. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning.
You'll just have to turn off the radio in the background.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm calling to ask you the curcumin that you described a little earlier this morning. You said that it's from turmeric. Do I have that right?
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. You can actually, okay, anytime you want, you can go to the grocery store and you can buy those turmeric roots.
You can get it in a
capsule or a powder, whatever you want.
Okay.
Every grocery store has it.
Oh, fantastic. Okay, that's great. And the curcumin comes from the turmeric. I think I understood
yes,
you
ma'am.
To say that.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be that kind of a yellow, I think it's called saffron. I really don't know my colors. Can I just call it yellow or yellow-orange?
Uh-huh.
But that's it right there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, great. And then the other question that I have is if you have a crystallized fibroid tumor, do you have any suggestions on how to dissolve it?
Now, when you say a fibroid tumor, are we talking in the uterus?
Yes.
Has it calcified, though, where it can be seen on an X-ray?
Yes.
Well, that means it's been there a long time. And I don't know if you caught this, but the lady just a while ago, I told her the body calcifies anything that's inflamed long term. So if it's calcified,
okay.
Do you know what the size of it is? I'm not trying to be overly personal, but is it the size of a plum or a tennis ball?
About the size of a... between the size of a tennis ball and a plum.
Well, if it's actually calcified, I don't know the answer to that one. I've seen fibroids dissolve and disappear before they were calcified, but the other day I was reading a story about an 89-year-old woman in Italy, and they did an abdominal ultrasound. They found a mass in her uterus, and when they did an X-ray, she actually was pregnant. I think the baby was like 7.5 months old. The baby died in the womb, but she never passed the baby. I'm not trying to be rude here, but it just calcified. So she had what's called a stone baby. And the doctors were puzzled, and she says, well, I've carried this child obviously for 70 years. I think I'll keep it the rest of my life. And so that's just one example about how even if a woman has a baby pass away in the womb, and I'm not trying to make a lot of that, but if the body literally calcified it or mummified it, just like if you've ever seen, you know, petrified wood where it hardens and calcifies because of minerals. I mean, if you have a fibroid that's calcified, I don't really know what's going to undo that calcification once it's already calcified.
I see. Okay.
There may be a technique. I'm just not familiar with it. But does it give you
all
pain,
right,
or problems at all?
Well, I moved from I changed doctors because I moved from Houston area to the Palestine area, and
Oh, yeah. Palestine's a lot better than Houston, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But joking. my Houston doctor felt that it was causing some side effects. He said that most doctors would not agree with him. But he felt like I would get swollen glands from time to time, like in my shoulder or in my neck. And he felt that some of those symptoms were, he said that he's seen women who had calcified fibroids who would have side effects occur in their body in other places that weren't even linked directly to the fibroid.
I don't know if I can make much of comments about that, but I know what I want to tell you, though. There is a fat-soluble vitamin called vitamin K2.
Okay.
Vitamin K2, one of its main roles is making sure that calcium accumulates where it's supposed to, like in the teeth or the bones. And I would probably say, I don't know, maybe 99.1% of all the calcium in the body is going to be found in your bones and teeth. It's not supposed to accumulate in other areas. Like if a person, you know, is at church on Sunday morning, they double over in pain, you say, what's wrong? And they go, well, I'm passing a kidney stone. Well, you're not supposed to have calcium build up in the kidneys or as plaque in the arteries. But the two things that I can think of that might help remove the calcium in that area is vitamin K2. And do you know what rice and wheat are? Have you ever heard of rice? Well, rice has this outer coating called its husk or its bran. And rice bran has a very, very high natural concentration. And I'm just going to say it simply because I'll butcher it otherwise. It's called IP6. That stands for inositol hexaphosphate. I think hex means six, whereas like oct means eight. Bi meaning two, tri meaning three. Anyway, sorry for wasting your time. But it's called inositol hexaphosphate. It's just a naturally occurring substance that's found in rice bran. But what it shows it can do is it removes calcification from arteries and from tissues where calcium doesn't belong. So I can't tell you I'm 100% sure about your situation, but these are things that you can do to tilt the balance in your favor. But it acts as a natural chelator, and that means it removes toxic debris from areas where it doesn't belong. So IP6 and vitamin K2, those would be a couple things that you can try. The number one way to calcify anything is to eat sugar. If you want to be calcified in areas where it doesn't belong, eat sugar because that'll do it.
Not the sugar
from apples or strawberries.
Okay. All right. One other thing. Would I be able to find IP6 from a health food store?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And vitamin K2 shouldn't be a problem at all. You'll be able to find it real easily.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Thank you. Let me know how it works out, okay? Bye-bye.
Okay. All right. I will. Thank you.
All righty. There's a phone line officially open at 903-586-5257. That's 903-586-5257. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. I need to know what someone can do if they have ophthalmic migraines.
Well, is this a man or a woman?
It's a man.
Does he smoke cigarettes?
He did, but he quit several years ago. Cold turkey.
What a good man he is.
I agree.
I mean, isn't that the most effective way of all time for stopping smoking, just doing it cold turkey?
I think so. But I've never been a smoker.
Well, neither have I, but my father was a heavy smoker, so I think I've had plenty of contact with secondhand smoke.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was just nearly impossible for him to stop smoking. Anyway, I'm going to give you three or four different ideas. You did say ocular migraines, right?
From what he's read on the internet, he called it ophthalmic because it's both eyes.
I'm sorry. Yes, ocular. I was just referring to the eyes my way, but you're right. I'm wrong. Ophthalmic, right?
Yes.
Okay. How do they manifest?
The eyes do first before the headache, and he gets only peripheral vision, the middle of the eye.
Now, does he lose his vision first, or does pain occur first?
He loses his vision first.
Okay.
and then the pain can last several days.
Does he want to go get in bed and just turn off the lights and lay down?
Yes.
Okay. I know I'm making an oversimplification here, but there is a very specific type of immune cell found in the brain. It's called a microglia. Have you ever heard of a microglia?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so this is a very specific cell, and I know this is just my terminology, so you take it with a grain of salt, but it kind of acts like a vacuum cleaner. And its job is to keep your brain free of debris and toxins and poisons, so it just goes around anywhere there's any waste or debris. It just sucks it up like a Hoover vacuum cleaner. You thought I was going to say a Dyson. But and this microglia is just kind of going around all day long, just sucking up debris. I think they work more so at nighttime. But there's only one other area in the body where you can find microglias, and that's in the eye. And to me, I find that very, very interesting. So let me just repeat this and state the obvious things you've already told me. If a man or a woman says, my head hurts, I don't feel good, I'm going to go lay in bed. Well, the thing that we want to agree upon is any time that a woman has a migraine headache and the first thing she thinks of doing is, I'm going to go into the bedroom, lay down, don't make any noise, don't disturb me. That tells me she's got an excessive event of inflammation of the brain. Okay?
Mm-hmm. All right.
Now, I'm going to switch gears just slightly, but I have a point to make with this, and hopefully I can make it the right way. I'm not making a recommendation one way or the other. But they just came out with this published study in September of 2015, which is just, what, 3 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they showed that over the last 10 years in Great Britain that heart disease risk has dropped by 46.9% over the last 10 years. And when the study came out, the doctors were going, oh, my word, we finally have proof and confirmation that blood pressure medications and aspirin and cholesterol-lowering drugs, they work. Mm. But that's not what it showed. You know what they found out was the real reason behind the tremendous drop of heart disease?
No.
Is because the men in Great Britain had decided they would imitate their French southern neighbors, and they would drink a glass of red wine a day. Now, what I'm trying to illustrate is there is a compound found in red wine. That's really all I'm trying to say. It's called resveratrol. Have you ever heard of that before?
Yes, I have.
But they were showing that the resveratrol and the quercetin, which is a bioflavonoid found in wine, it was a million times more effective than anything. It beat anything that medicine had to offer. Now, that doesn't mean that Roy Morgan this morning is trying to criticize medicine. I don't have any interest in doing that. I'm just telling you, when they compare apples to apples, one glass of red wine a day was linked to a 46.9% drop in heart disease. I can't make that up. If they found a drug that lowered heart disease by 10%, they'd be screaming at the top of their lungs and say, pay us $1 million cash and we'll give it to you.
Right.
Because they would feel like it was a gold mine. But it wasn't. It was in God's very natural creation himself. It's the resveratrol and the quercetin that they gave the credit to. And so we have to find out what has changed within his body. And so when you start having excessive inflammation, like I said earlier, Dr. Russell Jaffe calls that a repair deficit. So your husband has developed a repair deficit both in the eyes and probably in the brain or the cerebral tissue. What can we do to help tilt the balance in his favor? Well, one way would be taking a resveratrol. Another way would be consuming quercetin. Another way would be consuming cod liver oil. Another way would be consuming vitamin K2 and magnesium. You ever heard of those things?
Oh, yes.
And so he wasn't born with ophthalmic migraine headaches, was he?
No.
Well, would you care to guess what age he was when he first had his first one?
Probably approaching 40.
Is he 41 right now?
Yes.
Is he really?
Yes.
He's a kid. My goodness. You know what I thought you were going to tell me? And forgive me, I thought you were going to say he's like 59 or 60 years old. But I'm thinking to myself, that's 20 years from now. My word.
Mm.
Anyway, he's an awfully young man to have these ophthalmic migraines. But my interpretation is We're going to find out that there's something that he's eating or doing or consuming that's toxic to his eyes and brain. Mm. And the sooner that we identify what that is, the sooner he starts getting relief. But I would still do the same thing that you and I are kind of agreeing to. What if he started taking resveratrol? And that was a tremendous nutritional aid at helping his body stay in better repair.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, have you ever heard of somebody rush to the emergency room because they took resveratrol from a grape extract? I have not.
No.
And if somebody takes quercetin, which is a bioflavonoid, nope, I haven't heard of anybody dying from quercetin overdose.
Mm-mm.
So those are several ideas, but he most likely has a food allergy. The reason that I asked about smoking cigarettes was not to be overly personal or rude, but you can find there's almost always a lack of healthy oxygen and carbon dioxide in the eyes when that happens. And cigarette smoke is one of the most famous things for starving the tissues of enough oxygen. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I know there's some great athletes that smoke cigarettes that can run down the sidelines in a football game while they're smoking, but that wouldn't be me. So, are there any other clues that you can give me about him?
He's pretty much overweight. Has a big belly. Big belly.
And that's going to tell me that he's just, his fat cells are just generating a boatload of inflammation, and we need to get that under control.
Right.
You know, all these things you're telling me, every one of them can be reversed. God has designed the body to heal and repair itself. I don't just believe that. I've seen it over and over again. I don't know that I have to believe anymore. I just know it works. But then again, it works if a person wants to.
Right.
You know what I believe? This may sound negative. Every human being on earth, they choose exactly how they're going to die. You can't stop them from doing that. If they want to smoke 4 packs of cigarettes a day and eat junk food all day long, and they don't want to take care of themselves even though their wife wants them to, this is a different example, not y'all. You can't stop them. And you know what? There's nothing. We can be as stressed as we want. We can't manipulate a person into taking care of themselves. Ah, but when a person wants to take good care of themselves, you can't stop them from getting well. They heal every time.
Yeah, I believe you're right.
I mean, attitude is everything.
Yep.
So if he sets his mind like Flint, he goes, you know what? I have come to the point where I'm just sick of this. I don't want to deal with it any longer.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I did when you called? I thought to myself, Roy, could you function all day at work if you had ophthalmic migraines? Mm-hmm. You already know the answer to that. I couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
What am I going to do, lay on the couch and say, here, I'm here to help you? That'd be pretty tough if I was in pain.
Right.
You know, and that's not my weakness. I don't have migraine headaches. I rarely have a mild headache. Rarely. Once every 5 years, maybe. But so that's not my weakness. I've never had PMS or menstrual cramps either.
Thank goodness.
I know. But anyway, I sure hope this helps your husband, but I am convinced there is healing that is right there available for him. It's his for the taking.
It sounds like it, and I appreciate so much all these suggestions.
You're welcome. I cannot wait to hear.
Such a service.
Well, thank you, ma'am.
Thank you again.
You're welcome, and you have a wonderful day, and I pray that the Lord looks upon your husband with great favor and blesses him.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And plus, if he feels like $1 million, then he can get outside on a hot sunny day, a hot sunny day like today, by the way, and he can wash and wax your car for you and vacuum it. And he can say, sweetheart, I got a bonus. I got my Christmas bonus. I want you to go and buy yourself a nice present. All right. Unfortunately, we are all out of time. I will look forward to being with you next week.